Well, good evening and welcome to this streaming live service at Sharon Baptist Church. I'm certainly glad to have you here with us this evening. Just a couple of announcements to get us along the way this evening. I do want to remind you about our upcoming revival with our brother Daniel Knickerbocker. It's the first time he's been on this side of the water anyhow, and I know he'll be a great blessing to you. As we make our preparations for the revival, I do want to remind you that this coming Tuesday evening, we're going to be at Miss Gail and Brother Henry's house for a cottage prayer meeting, and that cottage prayer meeting begins at 6:55, and then it should be done in about an hour, no longer than an hour and a half. And then on Wednesday, we'll have a normal prayer and Bible study time, and then on Thursday, we'll be at the pastor's house, and him and Miss Diana, we're going to host you guys coming to our house for a prayer meeting there. And so we're looking forward to that, making those preparations for that. And speaking about preparations for the revival, I'm also thinking about Friday night of revival, the last night of revival, that we always have a Friday night breakfast fellowship. And so that is a wonderful time for you to come after revival and maybe get a few minutes to speak with the evangelist and his wife and really just have fellowship one with another. And then I did want to remind you, there is a sign-up sheet on the back table of our church, things that you can bring, such as potatoes and biscuits and eggs and egg dishes and casseroles and course breakfast meats and juices and coffee cakes and danishes, things like that. You could sign up for that list on Wednesday and take the burden off Miss Mary for having to call around and do that. And then again, I want to remind you about Convincing the Lost. It's our apologetic study coming up on April the 7th, that Sunday evening, and then continuing on Wednesday, and then the following Sunday evening on April the 14th through April the 17th. Pastor James has been very busy preparing for that, putting in the last finishing touches on the student workbook that's going to go along with that. So I trust that you would clear those days off your schedule. Now, it should already be off your schedule because it's a normal church day. So I trust that you would do that as well. Well, again, say thank you to everyone that helped out. On work day on Saturday, we got a lot of work done with just a few people here because of the flu and sickness and things, but a lot of work got done. So this coming weekend, the ladies, some of the ladies are heading off to Virginia Beach for a ladies retreat on Saturday. And so we're asking you men, if you could come back at 8 o'clock in the morning, and if you could come here and work from about 8 to 11 or so, we should have everything finished up and just make the house of the Lord very beautiful for the revival. So would you consider doing that and taking care of those things? Well, if you have your Bible with you, let's go ahead and take your Bible this evening and turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3 down through verse number 9. And we'll read those in just a few moments. I want to bring to you this message that I've entitled, When You Got Problems That Can't Be Solved. When you got problems that can't be solved. Several years ago, I went with a Major League Baseball scout for the Cincinnati Reds baseball organization to go scout a couple of pitchers that played for the Harrisburg Senators. It was a minor league baseball team. And it was about the third inning. The skies turned very dark and it began to sprinkle. However, the game wasn't called off. We just put on rain delay. And for about an hour or so, about 3,000 people were held in limbo while we waited to see just how long and how hard it was going to rain that evening. It was interesting as I sat there and watched other people as they reacted to the rain and the weather that came in that evening. Some left as soon as the first raindrops began to hit the ground. Others sat in the rain for a while, but eventually got tired of the rain and wet and wanted to go home, and they left to do that. But you know what? The scout that I was with and myself, we weren't willing to give up that easy. We had driven over 2.5 hours to get to see that baseball game, and we were determined to wait out the storm and finish that scouting report, which he would get paid by turning that in. Finally, the clouds rolled back by, and after the grounds crew did their job, the players took the field, and even though the game was far from over, I really felt like we had already won because we had, number one, we had outlasted that storm. You know, at different times in our life, you'll find yourself in a similar kind of situation. You'll be in the midst of the storm that, number one, you didn't cause, and number two, you can't control, and you'll have no choice but to sit there and wait it out, just like we did, waiting for that baseball game to start again. I think these kinds of problems are often the most difficult ones for you and I to face, because when we sit there and we face these types of problems, we feel so helpless and we feel so useless. I think 1 Peter was really written for people in this kind of predicament. Peter says in chapter 1 and verse number 6, "You are in heaviness through manifold temptations." That word that is translated manifold literally means various colors or various sorts. We could even say in today's language, he had all kinds of trials going on in his life. The word that is translated temptation literally means adversity, or it means problem. So Peter was in effect saying this: I realize that you're going through all kinds of problems. And he's just not talking about persecution. He just wasn't talking about the threat of death, but he also means health problems. He means money problems. He means family problems. He means work problems and any other kind of problems or difficulties that you and I might face. I think it's pretty clear that the scripture teaches us that every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what our status is in this life, that we're going to face problems. When Jesus told the story of the wise and foolish men who built their houses, do you remember the common experiences that both men had? The common experience was this: they both experienced storms that challenged the foundations of their lives. One house stood, and the other house was destroyed. Tonight, we're going to be taking a look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 9. And as we look at these verses, I think Peter reminds me in this passage of at least three principles that will help us to endure problems that we cannot solve. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's word this evening. Then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible said in 1 Peter, beginning in chapter 1 and verse number 3 down through verse number 9, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now, though, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that to trial your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye loved, and whom, though now ye see him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, God, we're asking that you would bless the preaching and teaching of your word tonight. Oh God, I pray and ask now that you would speak to the hearts of your children that are listening and tuned in to this webcast tonight and this live streaming of this service, Father. I pray that you'll put every distraction, you turn off cell phones, Father, you turn off the TV, everything will be put away, that they'll just pay particular attention to the preaching and teaching of God's word. Help us, Father. There is help in times of problems that come and we don't have difficulties. We don't have an answer for God, but we know that you'll be there for us. So, Father, I pray that you would bless as only you can do. And we pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, when you have problems that you can't solve, there's a couple of things that we need to remember. Number one, remember this. Remember that problem is only temporary. Notice that when Peter makes reference to going through all kinds of various trials, he includes this qualifying phrase. Notice in verse number 6, in the second part of that verse, he says, "for a season." You see, our problems aren't going to last forever. We might think they're going to last forever, but the truth of the matter is they're not going to last forever. And we need to remember that our problems are only temporary. And by their very nature, problems are only temporary. Actually, you know what? That ought to be our attitude throughout all of life. And we shouldn't become too attached to this world's pleasures or the problems that this world's pleasures bring us. You and I should keep in mind that we are, as Peter mentions in verse number 1, only strangers here. We're pilgrims and strangers here in this world. John Chrysostom said this: "I have only contempt for the world's threats. I find its blessings laughable." There's an old wonderful hymn that goes something like this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My home is far away, somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's distant shore, and I can't feel at home in the world anymore. Boy, the words of that chorus should reflect the attitude that we need to have in this life, especially during trials and problems that come into our life. Our problems are only temporary. I recently heard of a very good two-step formula for dealing with problems. And if you're taking notes, it'd be interesting for you and good for you to write down these 2 points. The two-step formula for dealing with problems. Here's the first one. Write it down. Don't sweat the small stuff. There we go. Don't sweat the small stuff. And here's number 2. Remember that it's all small stuff. Remember that it's all small stuff. Boy, if you would apply just those 2 principles to your life, man, oh day, you would have a better life and a better time as we walk through this world. Unfortunately, when we look at our own problems, they don't look so small. They might seem big and huge and big. We look at our problems. They don't seem just temporary. They seem like it's going to be a permanent problem. But the truth of the matter is it's only a matter of our perspective. Let me illustrate it to you this way. When you compare the size of a quarter to the size of the sun, the difference in the diameter is less than 1 inch and millions of miles. But you know what? You can place that quarter so close to your eye that you can't even see the sun any longer. And it works the same way with our problems that we have. When we look too closely at them, we lose perspective of the problems. And they begin to seem larger and larger and larger than they really are. Our problems are only temporary. But when you and I forget that, we lose perspective and end up doing something foolish, something desperate, or sometimes it's foolish and desperate. There was a man who had caught a cold. He went to see the doctor and he asked the doctor for a cure for his cold. The doctor just laughed and he said, "Sir, you know very well that we can't cure the cold, and all I can recommend for you to do is to take some aspirin, drink plenty of fluid, get some rest, and just wait it out. You'll feel better in just a couple of days." Well, as typically we are today, we don't like that answer. Wait it out. Wait a few days, then you'll be feeling better. And he wanted a cure immediately, and sometimes that's the way you and I are. But he had no choice. The doctor wouldn't give him any antibiotics, so he just went home. And he woke up the next day, and guess what happened? He didn't feel any better. As a matter of fact, he even felt worse the second day than the first day when he went to the doctor. So he was still barefoot and still in his pajamas. He looked at his wife and he said, "I can't stand this anymore. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to take a long walk." His wife said, "Are you crazy?" It says, "It's freezing out there. It's raining and sleeting." He said, "You're going to catch pneumonia." The man said, "Exactly. And then I'll get well in no time because I know the doctor knows how to cure pneumonia." Amen. Sometimes that's the same way we are as well. We need to remember that our problems are only temporary, and oftentimes we look at a problem from the wrong perspective. This applies not only to our trials, but also to temptations that come into our lives. Temptations don't last forever. They're not that strong. If we'll wait, they will go away. James chapter 4, in verse 7, he says this, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." What do we do when we resist? We have to wait it out. We have to hold on. We have to put our trust in Jesus Christ. Think of the biggest problem that you're facing right now. Remind yourself that this problem is not going to last forever. You can endure anything if you know that it's not going to last forever. Now, there's often times in my household that because I love my wife that she'll want to watch a TV show that I just totally despise. And it's not that it's bad, not that it's wrong. It's just like, you know what? I don't want to see take for instance, last night. We watched a movie together, and it was about, I knew was what was going to happen. It was a lady and a man. They each had a child, and I knew they were going to fall in love, but the whole thing was about a stupid dog, and you know how I feel about dogs and cats and things like that. And so I tell you what, that's the last thing in the world. I told my wife, I said, "When this goes off, we're going to watch something where a war movie where people get shot up and take over countries and things blow up. We're going to watch a man Man movie. But you say, well, why did you do that? Because I love my wife, and I understood this principle as well, that you can endure anything for a little while. But understand this, it's not going to last forever, just like that movie didn't. You see, Peter reminds us that you're going through problems that can't be solved. You need to remember that those problems are only going to be temporary. Well, he tells us that our problems are only temporary, but then notice something else. In the first part of verse number 6, we find this. We find that our problems don't have to make us miserable. I'm going to repeat that because I don't think too many people in this world understand this point. The problems don't have to make us miserable. Notice the first part of verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Peter is saying, listen, even if you're going through a trial and going through temptations, problems are coming your way and you don't know how to solve them, they don't have to make you miserable. Peter was making reference to all the good things that God has given us. And in verses 3 through 5, he lists them. And basically he says this, we have received God's mercy. We've been given a new birth and a new life and a living hope. He said we can live this life with a sense of hope and a sense of optimism. And we don't have to be afraid of death because Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He goes on to say we have an eternal inheritance that can never be destroyed, never taken away from us. And lastly, we're protected by God's power until the end of time. Oh, my friend, I don't know what problem you're in right now. I don't know what trial you're going through at this exact moment, but I do know this, that problem does not have to make you miserable. Peter says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. And all these things are true that Peter writes about in verses 3 through 5, that we don't have to allow a temporary problem to rob us of our joy and peace and happiness in Jesus Christ. The things that are most important can never be taken away. I think about God's mercy. I think about God's power. I think about our eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. During World War II, Dr. Viktor Frankl was imprisoned by the Nazis because he was a Jew. As a matter of fact, his wife, his children, and parents were all killed in the Holocaust. He was the lone survivor of his immediate family. At one point, the prison guards even cut off the wedding band off of his finger. At this time, Frankl said to himself, he said, you can take away my wife and my children, my parents. He said, you can strip me of my clothes, my freedom, but there is not one thing, no person can ever take away from me, and that is my freedom to choose how I'm going to react to things that happen to me. You see, here's the truth. Whenever we face problems, we may not be able to do anything about the problems, but we don't have to let those problems make us miserable. Abraham Lincoln said this, a person is as happy as he make up his mind to be. Let me repeat that. He said a person is as happy as he makes up his mind to be. And that's our problem. We don't make our mind up to be happy and have joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We allow our circumstances and tribulations and trials to beat us down and make us to be something that God does not desire us to be. You see, it's my choice and it's your choice. It's our choice as how we react to trials and tribulations. Peter says, even though we're going to suffer, we have every reason to rejoice because of God's goodness to us in verses 3 through 5. And if we remember this, then no problem we face has the power to take away our joy. Nothing can take away our joy except you giving it away. Well, Peter not only reminds us that our problem is temporary, and that our problem doesn't have to make us miserable. And notice lastly, and then we'll be done, this problem will help me grow. This problem will help me grow. And there's a principle in scriptures that many of us have tried to resist all of our life, but it can't be sidestepped and it can't be avoided. The principle is simply this, pain always precedes growth. Pain always precedes growth. You cannot have growth without pain. I sometimes wish that wasn't true in our lives, but the matter of fact, it is true. The principle is pain always precedes growth. Weightlifters have a slogan, and you can tell I'm not really a weightlifter, but they have this slogan, no pain, no gain. I mean, after you work out, boy, your muscles are going to be tore down, but they get tore down so that they can build themselves back up again. And if there's no pain, then there's no gain, meaning no more muscles. The slogan is more than just catchy. It's scriptural. There is no gain without the pain of discipline, without the pain of perseverance, without that pain of self-denial inside of ourselves. And just like every workout makes an athlete or a weightlifter a little bit stronger, so every problem and every trial and every temptation that we endure for the glory of God makes you and I just a little bit stronger. Notice what Peter says in verse 7. That the trial of your faith, and it goes on to say, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So as we face various trials, there's a couple things that we need to remember. First of all, we need to remember this, that we have the power to overcome any test or temptation that comes our way. We're guaranteed that by God's word in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. The last part of that verse, the Bible says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. There's a show on TV called 30-something. And this very subject has come up. The character's mother had died, and the priest told her that God would not give her anything that she wasn't strong enough to handle. And her response was this: does that mean if I were a weaker person, my mom would still be alive? I think that would be a fair question to ask, but that's not the right way to look at the problem. God doesn't give us problems to match our strength. He gives us strength to match our problems. And he promises that his strength is available whenever we need it. Secondly, I think we need to remember that every problem, no matter how disastrous, can be worked out for our best. There are two more examples of this in the scripture that we just have barely time to mention this evening, but I want to look at them. I think, first of all, of Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph? He was sold into slavery by his brothers, and he was unjustly accused of sexual immorality and misconduct in Potiphar's house. He ended up alone in a prison in a foreign land, but these events actually led to him eventually become a ruler of the nation of Egypt. His life at one point seemed to be a great tragedy in the making, yet it turned out to be one of the most inspiring stories in all the scriptures. About 2,000 years later, we have another man by the name of the Apostle Paul. He was unjustly imprisoned. His only crime that they said he committed was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. His enemies were trying to silence him. His enemies were trying to destroy him. But God used Paul's imprisonment for the opportunity to Paul to write letters to the churches that he could no longer visit. And those letters eventually became the scriptures as we know them today. Listen, no matter how bad things seem to look, remember that God takes great pleasure in turning the tide in the course of our lives. Listen to how God worked in the lives of others and a promise from the scriptures. Nehemiah 13 and verse 2, it says, howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 5 says, the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And as we close this evening, perhaps there's some of you here this evening that are facing some storms in your life, and they're just too strong for you to weather on your own. You can't hardly stand up. The winds are blowing so strong in your life. Doesn't make any difference whether or not you cause the storm. It's really irrelevant. What is relevant, though, is how you react to the storms that you find yourself in right now. Remember, my friends, that you are a child of God, and the storm is really nothing more than just a rain delay, like we gave at the illustration at the onset of this message. And God's promise is that eventually you're going to win the game. Yes, you're going to have problems that you can't solve. All of us do. I do, and you do. But those problems are only temporary. And most of all, remember this, those problems we face are not meant to take the strength out of us, but to put strength inside of us to endure those trials and tribulations in our life. So let's use these tough times as an opportunity to go closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to do when you get problems that can't be solved? You're going to trust in the Lord for it all. Thank you for coming here tonight. I trust and pray that God has spoken to your heart. Let's just bow our head for just a moment and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for being able to come here this evening and live stream this message when you got problems that can't be solved. Father, I pray that this message would find a resting place deep in our hearts. Father, there's no doubt that all of us have been there and done that. Some of us are here right now, Father, and we're questioning what is going on in our life. Father, help us to understand the storm is really nothing more than a rain delay. And Father, we understand and know that the storms don't take the strength out of us, but put the strength into us. So Father, help us to use these opportunities of when we got problems that we can't, that can't be solved, to stand strong in you. So Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you.